This episode of Action With Podcast is brought to you by our gold partner, A-Star Financial Solutions UK, who'll support you on your journey to expand your property portfolio. Thanks to our silver partner, TapTapSend. With great rates, zero fee, and instant transfers, sending money to Nepal has never been easier. Use the code ICCHIN10 for a £10 bonus. Download the app today, TapTap and send now. Big mention to our silver partner, New Lakshmi Jewelers, home to a stunning range of jewelry collection and timeless pieces from the heart of Aldershot. Our bronze partners, Nepal Authentic Dining, where delicious Nepali food is served at Shepherd's Bush and Boston Manor. And our bronze partner, Nepali Music Festival UK 2022, taking place at the Harrow Leisure Centre on December 16 with Trishna Gurung, Ekdev Limbu, Sabine Rai and the Pharaoh. Enjoy the episode. Well, hello everyone. So today on the Action With podcast, I have with me somebody who I've seen for a long time. I have Mazna on the podcast. I'm so excited that Mazna said yes, and she's here to talk about herself and the journey so far. Hi, how's it going, Mazna?
I'm good. How are you?
I am good as well. So I don't know where to start, but right now, you know, you've done quite a few things in your like life, social media career, real life career as well. I would probably say that you're a beauty blogger, you know, mainly on Instagram. Yeah. And, you know, you basically a creator. How would you kind of introduce or define yourself?
I always say I do makeup online. Like if people ask me what I do, I'm like, yeah, I do makeup online. And people are like, well, I just say I do makeup. Mm-hmm. If I don't want them to find me online.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, depending on who you want.
Yeah.
And who you're speaking to, right?
Yeah, and then they just assume that I do makeup on clients. And I'm like, no, I just do it myself. Like, yeah. It's quite hard to explain.
But I think this is the office. Yeah. This is the office, yeah.
I think people get it more now. Uh-huh. But yeah, like especially back like when I started, it was just so hard to explain to people what I did exactly. So I was always like very like generic about it.
Yeah.
And anytime I say it is what I do, I have to go into like a full description of how it all works, because people are so like intrigued. Yeah. By the industry and how it works and how I make money and like just the whole world of Instagram.
And I think like, you know, for people who follow you and you know, read or hear you, you know, you're very transparent in, you know, how it actually works, you know.
Yeah.
Even in some of the podcasts that you've done before or actually shared, you've spoken openly about, you know, how things fall and what you need to do and what the kind of I guess pressures, the deadlines. Yeah. And turnaround times.
Definitely.
Are like but right now in 2022, you've been doing this for a while.
Yeah.
You've seen the pandemic come and go and so on. How is it as a creator online
right now?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm in a bit of a slump right now, like personally speaking, like in terms of creativity. I think I'm like in a transition phase where I'm trying to find something that I'm going to enjoy. I feel like I'm sort of like, I do enjoy beauty, but I've been doing it for so long. I kind of want to like change it up. I want to do something else. There's just so much happening in my life in terms of like maybe like thinking of like moving out of the house and like just so much happening. But yeah, like I've been doing it for so long, like I feel like I'm quite established in like the UK industry, like in London, and like I have so many connections and network. I think it's just like now is the time where I'm thinking like, how do I like further this, like what do I do next?
Yeah.
I think it's just about refinding inspiration, and I think without me realizing, the pandemic actually played like a huge toll on my mental health. And like, do you know how people, like some people struggled right at the beginning, some people struggled in the middle. I definitely struggled coming out of it.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Like I thought I was doing fine. Like I thought I was like getting everything done and like so much change in my life, like moving to London, trying to get used to like the concrete world through like winter was really like quite... It took me back. Yeah, it was just like so much happening and it was so overwhelming for me because I came from such like a quiet countryside.
Yeah.
Where I think it was just peaceful for me and I could just create and I could just be in my own world. And I also think like the digital world has completely changed.
Yes,
like before it was like very much like set camera up, film, edit it on Final Cut Pro. Now we have TikTok, like the game has changed completely in terms of like how we create, what we create is so much shorter. People want like snappy, people want like transitions, like the beauty world and even the fashion world is just like blown up like recently, and it's just trying to find like a new space in that.
Yeah.
And the thing that I did wrong, if I could go back and change it, is like I wish I tried harder during that time instead of taking it more easy. Yeah. Now I feel like I almost need to do a catch up or like refigure it. You know? Like
it's a lot of pressure, right? Yeah. Because you're almost like having to always be running at the same speed as the changes that's taking place.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of, I guess, yeah, you know, matching and leveling up that you need to do. And
definitely.
Yeah, taking a breather means like taking, having that gap.
Yeah.
And then that just kind of, you know, it will come and come back to bite you kind of, yeah.
It's scary, isn't
yeah.
it? And then like, I think there was also like, people also say like, it's okay though. Like you can mm-hmm. take time out and it's like, don't be so hard on yourself because sometimes you need it.
Yeah.
Like it's the burnout. But I think as a creator, like I'm sure you know as well, like you always feel like you're running behind. You're always not doing
mm-hmm.
enough and you're so hard on yourself. You're like your biggest critique. And mm-hmm. that's something that I've been really trying to work on to actually be like, no, actually I have done some amazing
mm-hmm.
things. I have paved some ways. Like in my own like little lane, I've done stuff, you know, I've
mm-hmm.
inspired people, you know, like, so I'm just trying to get into like more of a mental space where I'm like, it's okay. Like,
I'm completely stand by you in terms of you have, and even before the pandemic, you were, you know, among, you know, the first, you know, group of online creators, especially in the Nepali ones, who had been doing, putting out so much content religiously as well. So,
I loved it.
Yeah, sometimes obviously things happen and so on, and you need a bit of a break, but that's not to say that doesn't dictate where you're going to go, right?
Yeah.
You know, it will, you'll be back. And just wanted to ask, like, on that note, like, obviously when things are building up and there's a bit of a pressure, how do you manage? Or like, if you're still figuring out like how I actually manage, then that's completely fine.
Honestly, like, I'm still figuring it out. But one thing, therapy, mm-hmm. been going to therapy, like seriously, that's been really
mm-hmm.
helping. I think the overwhelming part of it was just moving to London and then the PR. I get
mm-hmm.
so much PR now than I used to before.
Yeah.
Even like to film on TikTok or you go online to get some inspiration, it is so overwhelming, like the overload of information online, which
mm-hmm.
it was never like that before. So it's just like getting your head around that, just trying to, like, I've been trying to meditate, like
mm-hmm.
getting a routine of working out. I always feel like so much better when I do those things. So that's where my head is at right now. Like
mm-hmm.
I'm in the process and I think it is going to be a little process to get to that spot. I'm always honest. Like when people say, how am I doing? I'm like,
mm-hmm.
oh, if I'm doing good, I'm doing good. And I think the saddest part was the fact that before the pandemic, I think I was at my peak. I was loving the game at that point. Like I just come back from Bahamas. Like it was incredible. Like
mm-hmm.
the space I was in. And I think back to it now and I'm like, wow, like I loved it then. And I'm like, I sort of want to get that back. But then I think it's like trying to figure out who I am now
mm-hmm,
after
mm-hmm.
the pandemic.
Yeah.
And like, you know, it's such a weird like thing.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So in terms of makeup and doing it online, was that just like a fluke? Like, were you kind of doing something one day or like, let me just create a YouTube tutorial video? And did that just go wild one day, or did you see inspirations or individuals and you're like, oh my god, I want to do something like that?
Well, obviously, like, people always did it on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw this one girl like post Instagram video where
mm-hmm.
she did makeup. I don't know who she is, but I just saw it and I was like, that's so cool. And I was at uni
mm-hmm.
around that time and I was like, I'm gonna use my student loan to get a DSLR camera, like
uh-huh.
I'm gonna film, like I just started off taking photos and just getting creative. And then I just like learned to edit eventually and like film, and then I put it up and then it started doing good. Like I was like, wow. And then I think I sort of just became hooked to that because I enjoyed it so much. It was such a fun creative outlet for me. And I think because it was a hobby and I loved it,
mm-hmm.
When it did become a career, I kind of like went into like full force. Like I loved it so much. I didn't even realize how much I worked, how much time I spent on it. Like I lived, like breathe Instagram, like that's
mm-hmm.
what I did. And it wasn't in a way that it was like so vain, it was more like my world. It was like
mm-hmm.
more like it was fun. Like I could create these looks and people, their responses were so like sweet, and I had like so
mm-hmm.
many girls reach out to me, and like it was just like nice. It was fun for me.
And obviously there's a lot of people reaching out to you, and because you are quite open about, you know, what you're going through, whether it's also like, you know, I think you had a journey where you stopped going to uni because from your choice, and you wanted to pursue this, and a lot of people ask you about like career, relationship, how you manage like, you know, different things and family stuff and so on as well. do you feel the pressure to always like having to reply to people, or like, you know, or like how do you manage that? Because obviously, you know, that engagement is so important.
Yeah,
being genuine and connecting as well. But then it's like, there's a lot that probably come your way.
Yeah. I know it sounds really bad, but I don't reply to everyone, because if I did, I think I would,
I don't think I would
enjoy life. I know it sounds really bad. Like, sometimes I will just put it up on my story. Sometimes I will reply, but I think when you work for yourself, it's very much like, what's your priorities? Like, you have so much time in that day, and what things do you need to get done? I mean, I haven't been the best at it right now, but that's how I always thought about it. I was like, okay, what's important right now, and what do I need to like be focusing my energy on right now? Like, and some days I would spend like the whole day just getting back to people and like talking to people. I've had some like really fun discussions over all my stories with people, like especially like when they like start talking back to you, that's really cool.
Yeah.
I like come back to you in DMs.
That's cool.
That's what I do.
Yeah. But and I think that's realistic as well. You know, because sometimes there's that pressure, or that sometimes, you know, followers feel entitled to receive a reply, but I always feel like actually no, you know, that it shouldn't be like that.
Yeah.
And you have to also think that there's a lot of people as well coming and sending messages your way. Moving back to I don't know if you remember, but I briefly met you when you were like really young.
Yeah, I remember. 100%.
I think you probably weren't even 16, Titiba.
Yeah.
Yeah, you like, I think that was probably the summer or that period before you were planning to go to Miss UK Nepal.
Oh, no, don't say it. No. People will search me up. No, this never happened.
Okay. So, let's say whatever you participated in and so on, was that something that you kind of, you know, wanted to work towards, and like have a bit of an experience at?
Like Miss UK Nepal. Yeah. I think I've just been, I don't know who gave me the confidence in life, but I've just had this like stupid amount of confidence that I think I can just like, I just show up and then I'll just do things. But I mean, I'm so much more humbled now as a human being, as I've grown up.
No, but that confidence is great. Then, that confidence is great.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, I can do this. Like, I'm like 16.
Uh-huh. You're probably one of the youngest in that batch. Yeah.
And I made such a fool out of myself. I look back at it, I just cringe so much. That's but fine. Yeah, like, yeah, it's okay. I was a kid.
So good memories.
Yeah, it's funny. And it's fun.
Yeah, but I think that's one of the best things, right, in life. Like, you just have a stab at it. If it works out, it works out. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But then you also know what you don't want to do, or some of the things that you don't want to like repeat going down the line as well. But I could sense that you had a lot of support from your mom during that time. And in terms of like family, would you say that, you know, you've had, you know, how has your family support been for, you know, the career that you're pursuing right now as well?
My mom's always been really supportive. She like, obviously, she's one of those like laid back moms that don't really need to say much. But I remember like when I first started doing makeup, like, I think I had about like, just like hit 20k and I was still at uni. I was still pretending to go to uni second year. And I was like filming, and my mom being like, oh, I've sent you £100 so you can buy some makeup. And I just remember that was so like meaningful. And there's just been like so many times where she's just been like, you got this, you know? Yeah. Or she'd be like, oh my God, like this fan came up and like said like, are you Masna's mom? Cause like, obviously she comes on my Instagram sometimes.
Yeah.
That's cute. Like, I think that's really nice. But my dad, however, did not understand like how that worked. And especially like back when I started, I don't think it was as like, people understand it so much more now. There's actually like agencies and PR companies and like collaborations that happen, and like there's managements and everything like that. But whereas before, like, that was non-existent. And like, I didn't even know you could get makeup. Like, I remember doing it, and then I think it was Rodel Makeup that sent me my first PR, and I was like, you get makeup doing this? I was like, you get free makeup?
Yeah.
I remember I was like so gassed. I didn't even know you could get free makeup.
Aww. No, that's amazing. But no, you are so right. And I feel like a lot of even like elder people within the Nepali community now get more of an understanding in like, you know, the growth of digital and what there is in this space now. Definitely. Because they see, you know, TikTok blowing up, and even so many Nepali people in Nepal making a name for themselves, doing so many things online.
It makes you so proud.
And I guess, you know, you've been part of that game for a while, even before things had set in. And talking about getting free makeup, I mean, people who are online like yourself, you know, you receive a lot of, PR packages and so on. What do you do? Because I'm sure you don't use everything, right?
No. I think
I've got... Is there like some sort of an online secondhand store where you can sell stuff?
Yeah, I secretly do. But apparently you shouldn't. But I secretly do.
I feel like somebody has to because it's way too much for one person.
Yeah, it is. And I think also with brands, like, it's cheaper for them to just send it out to us in the hopes that we'll use it than for them to actually, like, collaborate with us and pay us.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, we might use it, you know, like, so it's cheaper for them to just send us that, like,
go on that hunch
or whatever, like, thing, then
like
just hit or miss, because some of these, like, bloggers are charging, like, just madness,
a lot.
Yeah.
So I guess it's great to be a friend of Masna who loves makeup, because as a friend, you're like, probably like, here you go, something that I've never used.
Supam loves it. He's like, what skincare can I have today? He's like going through my drawers.
Is that the reason why you're here?
Yeah, definitely.
That's hilarious.
I also have like a huge like mountain of like makeup that I just really need to get through and like decide what I'm gonna do with. Like, it's just like no one tells you when you do this, you're gonna need storage. Mm-hmm. Invest in a lot of storage.
Right.
You're gonna need just to be so organized. The cleaning routine is insane. It is so overwhelming. Sometimes I just like don't want to enter my beauty room.
Yeah,
it's actually too much. Yeah,
yeah.
But
like, I see some of your stories where, like, yeah, you have your compartments and so on.
Yeah,
like for your jewelry, for your things, and I'm just like, wow, this is
it's
like a lot
so
of complicated, and just setting your stuff up. Yeah,
yeah.
And but now I follow more Nepali people who do like beauty and so on, and I realize that it's such a discipline that you guys have to live off by. And then washing the brushes, I didn't know there was such a technique.
I just have like a load of brushes and I just work through them all like in the 4 months, and then I wash it all together in that one day.
Yeah,
so I don't have to like constantly wash. I don't know which way is better, to like to just have less and wash it every like month, or like have a lot and wash it all together in a day.
So at a certain point, I think this was slightly before the pandemic, you were doing various non-surgical procedures and being very honest and transparent about it by showcasing, like, you know, what is what you were doing and so on. Like, I think literally, like, videoing yourself while things were happening. Sometimes, some of the things looked quite gory.
Yeah.
Or maybe, like, there were, like, little blood coming out and stuff. And I'm just like, oh, my God. So how do you, you know, opportunities come your way, whether it's like makeup, whether it's like certain new surgeries and so on, etc. Do you like, is there like, should I be doing this? Do you have that kind of a inner conversation? And
yeah,
so on?
Like at first I was so excited because I was like, oh my God, you can get that for free as well. Because like, every time like something like new comes up, like do you, like we can offer you this, we can offer you that. It's really cool. And I knew I wanted to get my lips done, but like, they were quite big before. I haven't had them done in like 2 years, over 2 years now, 3 years. Because I was just like, I don't know. Like, I think we fell off that, like.
Yeah.
And it was just like, I've never had like anything that's like, I had to go under the knife. Because I think I'm too scared for that. But like, just like little needles and stuff. Like, I think everyone in the beauty industry does it. Everyone, like every celebrity you see out here has stuff done to their face. They're just really hush-hush about it. And I rather just be honest to my followers and just say, hey, this is what I got done. Like, and I know also like the backhand side of it is like, I'm sort of promoting this like beauty standard, like that girls should be getting this done. Like, I think I started realizing that as I was doing it, because at first I was so excited to just get it and I was like, yeah, I'll put up anything, you know. But then later I was just sort of just like, oh, I don't actually want to be like saying this is what you need to get done in order to feel beautiful, you know. But the honest truth is, like, every celebrity out there will have had stuff done. They're just so hush about it. And I'd rather be someone who's authentic and just say it as it is, even though in a way I'm promoting it.
Yeah.
I'd rather just be so blunt, so honest about it. I don't care what judgment you have of me for getting that done. Like, you must be very small-minded if you think, like, so-and-so is really good-looking, that's a celebrity, but you're, like, shaming me.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry, that's my alarm. That's
I'm just waking up now. Okay. Well, post content.
But do you know what? I've been so bad at posting as well. I just have it going off.
No, I completely hear you. And I feel like I don't know how much of this you will agree with. I always feel like it's really important for people who are using social media to think that, you know,
yeah,
a lot of us who create things on social media or are posting things, we have to realize that we're doing it for a reason as well. So don't always, you know, your biggest celebrity, etc., adore them, but also don't 100% worship them too, because they're also just trying to do something.
Yeah, they're human beings.
Selling a movie, selling a product, etc. Exactly. And, you know, people have to make a living through different ways. And but you're honest about, you know, the different things that you've done or are promoting, and that's fine, I think. And then it comes down to the follower to make that judgment as well.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's also being honest and being like, actually, the reason why I look like this is because I did get this one procedure done, rather than being like, yeah, I'm actually, like, I'm actually really big lips. You know?
Like, I'm just like, no, you're not. Yeah. by now.
I think people know by now. And think
because thankfully people are more honest.
It is the beauty bloggers that
shame or whatever,
honest,
stigma around getting things done is lessening.
Yeah, definitely.
Fingers crossed. And you know what? If you do it and it makes you feel good, great.
Do it. That's what I say.
But if you do it and then you have an unhealthy relationship with it, then that's where you need to kind of maybe pause and kind of reflect.
Yeah, definitely.
That's that. But of course, now like you've moved, like you live in London, and before you lived in a very kind of idyllic part of England, which is slightly different. How are you finding like navigating the London scene? Because, you know, you are... it's slightly more easier to go attend to different kind of PR events, press events, and so on. Do you feel like it's like more overwhelming now, or it's kind of like...
I think in the sense that I don't find like peace, like because it's just so much happening. I would love to like have more peace, I think. But apart from that, it's great, like just being able to pop over to like Central. And I'm also so lazy to the point like I just ask them to send me a cab. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh.
I mean, so if you can, why not?
Yeah, I was like, can you just book me a cab?
Yeah.
It's really bad. Uh-huh. But yeah, it's like,
the perks of being a beauty blogger.
I know.
Great.
And if they don't, I'm just like, I can't come.
I love it. Know your worth. So obviously a lot of people who work in more traditional jobs where, you know, they're having to turn up to office or working from home Monday to Friday, you know, they can expect one salary at the end of the month, etc. and so on. But people who work in like the creative field, whether it's like you're a writer or a video creator and so on, you know, you're going from project to project. Would you say that what you do is similar in the sense that depending on whatever endorsements or deals that you make, that would be like, you know, a good turnaround, and sometimes there might be kind of gaps as well?
Yeah, there is. Also, like, especially during the pandemic, like, I have so much to say about this, but I don't think I should say too much into it because I'm like in like going through some stuff right now. But in terms of like deals, it'll be like sponsorship. So they'll be like, okay, I want you to advertise this mascara or whatever, and you'll do a video, and you'll be a set rate depending on your engagement, following, everything like that. And after you do that, you're like, obviously, you're like at the end of the month, they should pay you. But all these companies trying to pay us like so late. There should be some laws, rules and regulations for that, but there isn't.
Welcome to A-Star, your complete financial solution. The A stands for first class service, and the star relates to you, our most important clients. We are a team of whole market advisors with more than 10 years of excellent service. Serving nationwide, we specialized in home mortgages and remortgages, wills and estate planning, residential sales and lettings, property management, real estates, insurances and pensions. For both personal and business financial advices, please feel free to contact us for consultant. We look forward to working with you. A-Star Financial Solution. Making your move memorable.
This episode of Exchange With Podcast is brought to you by our gold partner, A-Star Financial Solutions UK, who'll support you on your journey to expand your property portfolio. Thanks to our silver partner, TapTap Send. With great rates, zero fee, and instant transfers, sending money to Nepal has never been easier. Use the code ICCHIN10 for a £10 bonus. Download the app today, TapTap and send now. Big mention to our silver partner, New Luxme Jewelers, home to a stunning range of jewelry collection and timeless pieces from the heart of Aldershot. Our bronze partners, Nepal Authentic Dining, where delicious Nepali food is served at Shepherd's Bush and Boston Manor. And our bronze partner, Nepali Music Festival UK 2022, taking place at the Harrow Leisure Centre on December 16 with Trishna Gurung, Ekdev Limbu, Sabin Rai and The Pharaoh. Enjoy the episode.
I think there's a lot of like exploitation of bloggers in this industry because like there's no set rules.
Yeah.
I've definitely like worked for brands where I've like made next to nothing, thinking, okay, that's okay for me. But like, it's not, you know, like it's so hard to like, I think this industry makes you have a thick skin.
Yeah.
Like you have to really like differentiate, and it's like it questions you so much in a way, like, am I worth this, you know?
Yeah.
Like, am I going to charge this? And I'm quite grateful because I think I have an agency, like, management, so they deal with all of that for me. So it's not as bad as it was, like, right at the beginning where I had to, like, really worry. But during the pandemic, I was actually, like, making pretty decent money before the pandemic. Like, it was all set. I was all good. And then the pandemic happened, like, seriously. And like, I haven't been making as much like over the pandemic. It's slowly like started picking up now again, because obviously the industry started off again. But yeah, like I'm just sort of in a place where I'm like in some changes right now.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm going to say.
Okay.
I feel like I can't say too much on
this. No, that's fine. But yeah, I mean, for anyone, you know, just like getting started, even in the traditional kind of work way, it is a bit like daunting. But then now you're in a sector where a lot of the things and rules aren't quite there, or it's not publicly available, or you can't exactly just go to somebody else because they're not somebody who creates online. Whereas maybe there's an accountant and they'll be like, oh, what's an accountant, I don't know, perk salary, or what sort of thing should I negotiate, and so on. So, you know, in traditionally people have that, but you know, now you have the support from the agency, that which is great. But when you were just like starting out, and you know, that first PR package that you received, and thinking, oh my god, free makeup and so on. But then, how many free makeups do you receive? Because at some point you're like, okay, now I need money as well.
Yeah.
So who helped you, or like, where did you go to find information?
Okay, in terms so of, like, as I did Instagram, I remember at that time it just kept like blowing up, and I think when I was like around 100k mark, there was like talks that we should actually be making money, like proper money, and like we were just like, we were hearing like rumors that the, like this girl somewhere in the world was made like, I don't know, like something like 15k, and she had like 20k followers or something like that, which is like amazing if you can make that much, you know. But like so it was just stuff like that, and we later realized we had to do that. And I remember like I met this girl, she's in America, we still follow each other. She used to work in a PR, and she's a blogger too, and she just sat me down and she just talked me through what a media kit is and how to ask a brand, and she literally got me to like design my media kit, and it was just a big moment for me. And I remember like sending my media kit in to a really big brand. It was actually YesStyle, like you know, the different style. And they came back to me and they were like, yeah, like we're happy to pay that amount. And I just remember thinking like, like I can't myself, like that was such a big like step. And that was like the first time like a brand like actually paid me the right amount. And then after that, they've become a bit cheap now. They only work for like really little price. They realize they can scam like bloggers and make them work for really little. But like I was like, I just realized like, I was like, okay, like I can do this. And I just, that's what I did. And then it just got to a bit point where it was just so overwhelming, because I had to deal with my Instagram negotiations. Like that was just stressful for me. So I signed with the management, been with them for quite a while now, and they dealt with all of that for me, which was really nice. They would just come to me with like, okay, there's this job, this company, we're having this conversation, this is how much they've offered, yes or no. And I'll just say yes or no, and then we'll just go ahead with like dates that go live. So yeah, that made it a lot easier, but that's kind of how it happens.
That's really impressive, because you know, it's it's like going into a world that you don't really know, but not many people know as well. But like now more people know, now there's more point of references, because even among the Nepali community there's more Nepali people who are making it and doing things right, but back then not so much. So I feel like did you have any kind of fellow Nepali connections, or did you have maybe non-Nepali people who created a bit of a family kind of friendship community with you? Out of beauty bloggers.
I've got like loads of friends in the blogging industry. I don't think it was like much of a community. It's more like I've just like one friend that you make, and then it's just nice to catch up. Like I have Jasmine regularly. I don't know if you know her. She's up in Scotland. Me and her talk about like this type of stuff so much. Like we sometimes just go to each other just to rant about stuff. It's just nice to have friends that you can just talk to like that, because it can be quite lonely. I remember like there was a point where I was like so invested in what I did, and plus I lived in the middle of nowhere, like tiny town with barely any people, just some people from like the school that I went to that I was friends with, like just a little group of girls, and I just remember feeling like, oh my god, I'm so lonely, because I would wake up, get up, film, and I love doing that. But just because like in London, like at least I can just call up like anyone and be like, hey, want to hang out, you know? Whereas like in my little town, you can't really do that, because if they're busy, they're busy, and that's it, you know? And like, but I was so focused on my creation and like how much I loved it, that became my world. Like that was my world. Maybe like to a point it was kind of unhealthy, but like I enjoyed it so much. Right now at this point in my life, I'm more in trying to seek a balance between it, like have friendship connection, like have family time, work as well, you know, have me time, you know, like just stuff like that. So
that's really good.
After the balance.
Yeah. And I feel like, I think it's a part of like, you only learn by sometimes doing something so much. Yeah, extremely. And that's like, obviously it's not the best way to learn, but that, you know, humans, you know, we're kind of designed in a way that, you know, sometimes we have to experience the worst and then be like, okay, actually that's a bit too much. I need to kind of rein it back in. But that's cool. And in terms of like, have you ever thought about, I mean, I feel like you were the one who told me once, but okay. Was it you who told me that you wanted to create your own jewelries once?
Yeah. But I think I'm over it now.
You're over it. No, my question was something along the lines of, you know, did you ever think about creating your own kind of little merch or line of something?
Yeah, I have. I've had like so many thoughts, but like I've never gone forward with it because I feel like Instagram itself is just so much to deal with. So I think like till I get to a point where like I have people that can assist me with stuff, like till then I don't think I'll like get do that as well.
That completely makes
sense.
So
right now I'm just like just doing me and just trying to figure out some stuff, and like I think the main thing for me is I kind of want to like move out now. I think I'm ready to leave the nest.
Nice So. Where would you move to? Somewhere around London?
I think I'm gonna move just outside London. Just so I'm like close to nature, because like honestly, like traveling in from like just outside London, like the little towns are outside London, or like just living in London and traveling in, it takes the same time.
You're so right.
Like, why? Yeah. Like, at least I can be around nature, and if I want to be in the busy, I will be. Like, I used to come here so much, like in Central, because like all the events are here, and like every week I'll be here anyway. So I was like, it's fine.
So when you were younger, in primary school, or maybe like going through secondary school and so on, what was kind of like, you know, everyone has a bit of a, oh, I'd like to do this one day, but then that keeps changing by like every week or something. Did you have any kind of fixed thing that you saw yourself doing?
Oh no, I just wanted to be the weirdest thing. I was like, I want to be a dancer, I'm gonna be a model. Just like some weirdest stuff.
That's cool. I mean,
it's just like, I don't know.
I mean, that's a very kind of like, you know, it's an expressive form of, I guess, work, you know,
really
and in a way, like, you know, you are, you know, with makeup, you are expressing yourself in different ways as well. What are some of the like don'ts in terms of makeup or things that you can share?
I don't know. Like, oh, that's such a, like a big question. Too much makeup, I think.
Too much makeup.
Yeah, like I think on Instagram it looks great. And I mean, like, do whatever you want. Like, it's makeup, it's fun, you know.
But this is fine.
It's,
this is personal view. Personal.
Yeah, personal for me. Yeah. Like,
so we're
like,
not gonna hold that against you. Yeah,
and like, anyone,
just so important.
Do whatever you want.
Yeah.
But with me, like, I'm really big on base, like base foundation. I like really like dewy light foundation. I know I'm wearing a bit more today, for camera.
Yeah.
But like, apart from that, I would say like, I love dewy. I love like, just like there's this like look called the clean girl look. That's my vibe always. Like when I'm at home, I do love a liner. But I also like switching it up. I go through like phases where I'm like, I love colorful makeup, and then I have phases where like I love matte makeup, you know? So like just playing it up. But like I think texture is big for me, like texture and skin.
Yeah, cool. Another question. I had a question, but I completely forgot. Oh yes, my question was, obviously you do a lot in terms of makeup on yourself, etc. But is there, do you also go to certain places to get like facials done, etc. and so on? So how much of that do you do?
Oh, I used to. I haven't for a while. Like, I feel like the amount of skincare I've got, and my skin's pretty decent anyway, it's cleared up a lot. So I just like, I just use that, and I just give myself like home facials. Because I think I was so used to living in the middle of nowhere where there was no, like, you couldn't really go and get like nice facials anyway. So I think I've always been used to like just doing things on my own, and like,
I think maybe that's how and why you learned so much as well. Because, you know, where you lived, it's like, you know, the bus services, etc.
Like would be very bad.
So would you say that YouTube was your teacher? Like, did you learn a lot from YouTube and social media? Like, in terms of even applying makeup and stuff?
Yeah, I think so. I remember, like, I watched this video, like, when I first started doing makeup, I didn't know how to blend eyeshadow properly, but I still did it anyway. Like, I didn't know how to, like, get, like, the, you know, the gradient, like, the shade. I know it sounds quite complex than it is, but I remember I watched a YouTube video, and I was like, and then I did it, and I was like, this looks insane. Like, I was like, wow. Like, YouTube definitely is good when you need to learn stuff like that. And I do think it's quite sad, because sometimes I get people asking, like, oh, how do you do this? But I'm like, my Instagram platform is not really about like teaching how to do the little things as much as I would love to. And sometimes I do try to, but it's so like snappy little videos. It's more like an aesthetic rather than just like how-tos. Like, I think it's quite hard to like figure out a niche sometimes, and you're constantly having to evolve and change with the industry and yourself, and like find a middle ground that makes you happy. And like if you post too much of one type of stuff, you start getting so bored of it, honestly.
I mean it must be a lot, because you know you're competing with so many things, so many people, and the past 2 years, and I guess the rise of more Gen Zs has meant that there's more creators online. And they're so natural at, you know, embracing TikTok and creating. So, it must be a gold mine. The other thing that I wanted to ask was, obviously, as a creator, you being from, I guess, in the UK, a minoritized community and so on, have you ever felt that there was, like, difference in how brands approach or work with certain people of different backgrounds and color, whether it's, like, you know, whether you're white or non-white, etc.?
Okay. In terms of that, I haven't like experienced it myself, like personally, but I know for a fact like white female bloggers make more than like black or Asian bloggers, because obviously I think they're just more sellable, and obviously because there's the European standard of beauty that brands normally tend to lean on, so they're more willing to invest more on them. That's just like out in the like the gossip around us, but I feel like I do see some truths in it. And I'm sure like if we did the facts and the numbers and stuff, it would come up so easily. But I think I like where we're going right now with like TikTok and like inclusivity and like people coming through, and brands are seeking more Asian faces and more like black faces to work with, and like mixed race, which I think is really cool. But also like there's a long way to go with stuff like that. Yeah, definitely.
But, have you noticed that there's a lot of Nepali people as well, I think, who may have always had that interest and passion in makeup and so on, but I feel like now they've got that confidence to actually take it one step further. And you see some people who have kind of like done well in a very short amount of time. And, you know, how does that make you feel?
Oh, it makes me feel really good.
I think, were you with some Nepali
creators? I went to see them.
Lunch, really right? Nice. Nobina was there.
Chimmy was there, and Sonika. I actually went and saw them, and like they're like, obviously they got big like during like the pandemic, and it's just so nice to sit down and like just talk about stuff. And I think like because I've been doing it for so long, like they always ask me stuff, which is nice. And I have so much to learn as well. Like I'm not going to be like, oh, I've done this industry for so long, I know so much. Like they know so much that I've learned from them as well. So it's quite cool. I think it's really important to like have like a community or like just like, I always saw it as like, they're not like, these people are not my competition. Like, mm-hmm. they're my friends.
Yeah.
And we should be making friends. Like, yeah. you know, like, I feel like also with like feminism and like sexism, like women are always like taught to like plot against each other. Like, they're my yeah. competition. But it shouldn't be like that. And it makes me really sad that like, it like, it becomes like that sometimes.
But, yeah. yeah. That's a nice way to look at it. I mean, like, there's, you know, if we all go about it the right way, there's room for everyone.
Yeah.
And we need to think from that angle and make friends rather than enemies.
Definitely. And you learn so much more. Like, you can be like, no, I'm not going to give anyone my secrets, but yeah. you're not going to learn anything. Like, yeah. I promise you.
I mean, yeah. we've met those people in school.
Yeah.
And it's
yeah.
like, they're lonely now. Or exactly. like, you know, it's like, oh, stop being so bitter.
Yeah.
It's like, exactly. you're not going to gain less by, you know, sharing and stuff.
Yeah. I was actually listening to this podcast from this doctor, and he had this person on, and they were talking about how status doesn't bring you happiness, like mm-hmm. likability does, and mm-hmm. like people who think they're like better than someone, therefore like they treat people worse, tend to actually be more depressed and mm-hmm. more lonely and more sad, whereas people who are likable tend to already naturally be more popular. And I was like, that's really fascinating, because mm-hmm. that's true. Like I definitely think that's true, because before, like when I was younger, I was so like focused on getting my work done that I forgot like connections with my friends, and mm-hmm. I like lost connections, whereas now I'm more like, I don't care if my followers go down. I barely have even posted mm-hmm. this last year. Like, my engagement has gone down. I don't care. Like, before, I used to worry so much mm-hmm. of like what people thought of me, and I felt like the need to hold this like crazy high standard for myself, and I was never good enough. Like, I was always putting myself down mm-hmm. and it like actually makes me feel so depressed and like compared to. Whereas now I'm like, I don't care. Like, I want to enjoy this journey. Like, I want to yeah. be part of the community, and I just want to like have a good time, mm-hmm. you know? So I think, yeah, that's where I am now anyway. Yeah.
And to get to this point where you're more like confident with who you are and what yeah. you're about, right? And you're not basing your value on these metrics as well.
Yeah.
What do you think, like, or how do you think you reached this point? Like, has there been like life experiences or yeah. more like, I don't know?
I think it's just doing the industry for a long time, and also like there's so many times you're gonna feel so bad about yourself for like your followers, or like, I remember, because obviously Instagram, it's not a race, it's like a marathon, it's mm-hmm. never ending. So there's gonna be times when you're gonna be doing better, there's gonna be times where you're doing worse, sometimes it's like just plateauing, sometimes it's doing so bad right now, for example, and mm-hmm. I don't care, it's fine. Mm-hmm. Life goes on. I've realized I used to be so worried, like, oh my God, like, I can't do another job because people are going to think this and that about me. Like, she's meant to be like Maz X. Like, she's yeah. meant to be doing makeup. Like, why is she like doing a normal job? But honestly, I don't care anymore. Yeah. I will do anything. Like,
yeah.
I just want to enjoy life. I just want to have a good time. I just want to make connections. I just yeah. want to be creative. Like, that's where I am now. Right yeah. now.
Yeah. No, I'm so happy to hear that as well, because I think sometimes, obviously, when we're younger, we feel like there's only one thing for us.
Yeah.
But then, like, the more that we age and grow up, and sometimes we make mistakes, or sometimes we realize that actually we can do more than one thing.
Exactly.
And sometimes it might be from choice, or sometimes it might be actually because I'm tired or I want to
yeah.
see something else, and then we can get back into it as well.
Yeah,
but
definitely.
I think, you know, you being so open and honest about that is great. And you have always been on social media.
There's been
multiple times where I've seen, like, you know, you engaging with your followers, and sometimes like but your followers have also really, I think, given you time to learn from your ways. And
yeah, definitely.
And so, sometimes I know how social we all have experiences with social media, and sometimes you always feel like, oh my God, if you say one thing, somebody else is going to say another thing, and they're going to correct you, and then
yeah.
it kind of get like kind of stuff. But then I always feel that you're always taking it very positively, and like trying to take on from them if there's
yeah.
something that you've said which may be like misunderstood and etc., which I think is a good quality to have. Otherwise it does like dampen your spirit and day, right?
Yeah, I think like doing Instagram, I think you have to obviously, I was speaking to some bloggers actually. Do you remember during the pandemic there was just so many movements, and it was such a hard
yeah,
time
yeah.
online? And bloggers, some of my blogger friends were saying like how they found it quite hard to talk about these things because they felt like they had to be the knowledge.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure you
yeah.
felt like that.
And
so
it's like, if you don't speak about it, then it's almost
then
like,
it's
why
bad.
Aren't you?
But if you speak about it and you say,
and
the, wrong
say
thing,
the wrong thing,
then
it's like,
bad,
yeah.
you know?
And then you have no time.
Yeah,
right?
And then like, you have to post
like,
today. It's actually
yeah.
today. And then you have to, like, it's just so much. But I think I'm really lucky. My followers are so sweet. They're so genuine. Like, they're so, like, they actually come from place of care. And I have, there's been times where I've been corrected and I've learned a lot. I think doing this job, I do think it's a really big responsibility you have to take on to be knowledgeable, to understand, to learn. Like, like I said, like, ignorance is a choice. Like, yeah, obviously it's a bliss too, but it's a choice. Like, we choose to be ignorant. Like, we choose to not know about that or not learn about that, you know? So I think it is, I think I'm really passionate about a lot of things as well, like equality in general. It makes me really upset that, like, things like this happen. So, yeah, in that sense, I guess.
No, that's a really good way to put it. And I think not many people have that kind of spirit and approach. And it's really good to see that you have that. The other thing that I wanted to ask is, there are a lot of young people. I feel like it's so funny because, like, you know, the older that we get, we forget, like, you know, there are young people too, right? And we don't know, like, what they're thinking or what their standards and stuff are. But obviously, you know, there are a lot of young people, and even people who are, like, 18, 19, you know, they're adults, but, you know, sometimes they're babies, right? And when you think about it, like, what sort of advice do you think you would give to somebody who is, because nowadays the people who are becoming more viral and famous are even younger, and sometimes that's really tricky to see, because you're kind of like, oh my god, are they going to be okay? Like, do their family, and do they have the right support and so on? And of course, you've done a lot of things from a really young age, whether it's, you know, participating in the pageant and so on. But, like, what would you say to them? But not even them, maybe, like, I don't know, their supporters or family and friends.
I think to the younger me, this is how I would say it. I think I would say, like, it's okay. Like, it's going to be okay. Like, don't worry. Like, don't stress out so much. Like, literally every single person that's, like, 30 and over has told me the 30s are, like, the best time of their life, because you just stop caring. And I can't wait to get there. Like, I can't wait to, like, be financially.
I feel like you're not, are you even mid-20s?
I'm, like, 26, 27.
Oh, okay. Oh, my God. I always think you're, like, a baby. So so I thought you were, like, 23 or 24. But anyway, no, that's fine. But yeah.
I'm like, I'm getting to my wise place, though. I'm a bit wise now. But yeah, like, I've, I think I'll just say, like, it's okay. Like, don't panic. And I think just that, like, I'm beautiful and it's okay. You know, I think, like, I used to feel, like, so down about myself, and I used to, like, just, like, self-worth wise, I think I used to put myself down a lot. And that was, like, this industry definitely challenged me a lot. Like, even though I was confident, like, deep down, there was, like, a part of me that was like, oh my god, like, I don't know, you know, like, I'm not good enough. Like, why am I not doing good enough? Always, like, feeling like I'm not doing good enough. But
Well, I think, you know, from all that learning and where you are right now and heading, you still have quite a few years left till you reach 30s and so on. But
it doesn't end there.
It keeps going. And I think life is like that, right? Like, just like what you said with Instagram, it's a journey. And, you know, there's bound to be moments, even in our 30s or whenever, where there's going to be dips. And then that's going to be followed by highs and lows as well. But hopefully by then we'll be better versed in embracing the dips as well as the highs as well. But I think ultimately, I think you have, from what I can see on social media and stuff, you have a great set of family and support from your siblings as well.
Definitely.
And I think, you know, that does carry us forward, and friends too, and friends too, and partner. So all of that. But yeah, thank you so much for coming and having a chat. Is there anything else that you'd like to, like, share or just talk about?
No, I feel like I've spoken so much about me.
It's action with Masna.
I wanted to actually ask you questions too, but you just had it, like, I wanted to be like, and you, like,
no, that's fine.
How did you find Pride anyway?
Pride was fun. Like, this year, like, I didn't have any kind of plans, or I just wanted to literally just go without a plan and go with the flow. Just sit down and have a drink somewhere and so on. So it's very chilled. But the thing is, it's like, I did meet few people. I met a small group of Nepali lesbians as well and so on. And we were just having these different conversations, like, about, because they said it would be lovely to have, like, our own little parade with a banner one day. And I said, that's not impossible, because there are, I think I've always seen the British Muslim group of LGBTIQ people, and sometimes there's only about 4 or 5 people, but that's representation, right? And that's why they get a spot. And I was like, we can have that too.
You should do that.
And I was telling them, like, you do it and I'll support you. Because I sometimes feel like, oh my God, you know, how many things can one person do?
Yeah, definitely. Right?
And I feel like, you know, it's
if
better
they make
if
like
we...
a little, like, tell people to come down.
Yeah,
I'm sure people would.
People would.
Like,
and happily. Then it's not just people who identify within LGBTIQ+, but, you know, our friends and family members.
Yeah. Oh,
they can come to, you know, allies and so on. So I was saying that. But yeah, it's good. And I think sometimes we don't know, like, what is happening, but you know, bit by bit, and especially in the past 2 years, we've seen more people, whether doing different things, whether they're queer or whether they're, like, you know, doing their own small business and so on.
Definitely.
And I think it's that, and you know, you have been one of the individuals leading that wave.
Wow, thank you.
And you
same
know,
to you. You've done amazing. You. Yeah, I love seeing your content, and I feel like you're like my news to what's happening in Nepal. Like, I'm like, let's see what Lex is doing to just know what's happening, because I should know. Also, I'm one thing I really wanted to say, actually, I'm so proud of where Nepal is heading in terms of like feminism and LGBT.
Mm-hmm.
Makes me so proud. Like,
yeah,
as a country, like, I think they're low key doing more than England.
Yeah,
like,
I
just,
mean, it's at a really good. I mean, I would say a lot of people are working very hard to push things forward. And I would say I get really inspired by young people like Gen Zs, because the Pride Parade that took place in June in Nepal, that looked really amazing. I don't know if you saw the pictures. And they even got the photos got printed on Vogue. Well, Vogue online and so on as well. And I think it's good. And I hope that, you know, people keep pushing. And because when they push, they also help people who are older as well, right?
Yeah, definitely.
And yeah, and sadly, we're not going to stay young forever.
We'll be old soon.
I know.
I can't wait, though. I can't wait to be 30, honestly.
Because that's it's something that we don't get. Is, I mean, something that I guess through experience or some people get it early on. It's that peace of mind. And it seems that you're getting way more comfortable with who you are in your own skin as well. And I think that's bliss.
Yeah, that's nice.
And no one can take that away from you when you have that power.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. So, I think before it was more like just this like young, naive girl, like trying to figure it out. I think like 20s are so hectic. Oh my God, you're trying to like navigate through like friendship groups and yourself and your career, like financially, like, you know, like family, like just everything. And I just can't wait to just be 30 and just chill.
It's constantly on the go in 20s. And you don't really get time to pause and be like, actually, is this me? Actually, are these the friends that I want?
Yeah, and
actually,
like,
do
learning.
I want to go there, or is it my friends that want to go there?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's a huge, like, you're just thrown into this adult world after education. They just like throw you in and they like figure it out.
I feel like definitely things get better, because like around like maybe even mid late 20s, you get more comfortable at saying no thanks.
Yeah,
I'm fine, I'll do this and so on, and
yeah,
and you're just at peace, and sometimes less is more, but
definitely
quality is better as well and so on.
100%.
But yeah, that's that really.
Yeah,
but yeah, thank you so much, Mazda, for coming all the way in and speaking, sharing your heart out. I knew you were going to be a good one. So yeah,
I was kind of nervous, like, also, but I haven't spoken in so long.
No, I mean, I think we were just before the pandemic, I don't know if you remember, this was a long time back, 2020, I had sent you some questions for Ikchin With, but the written one.
Yeah.
And you sent me the answers back. You sent me the photos as well. It's still in my computer somewhere, by the way. And then it was supposed to go up like for the March or April issue.
No,
April would have been like the Nepali New Year. But because of the pandemic, everything just went like kaput, right?
It's fine though.
But yeah, and
so
I thought,
many plans got cancelled.
Yeah.
So many like deadlines.
But it's all right. Like we got to have a conversation like this, and which
nice.
Is good, because you know we never really meet up anyway. So
yeah
but it's great. But yeah, thank you so much, and to everyone listening, etc. Well done for sticking around until now. And yeah, if you want to see more of Mazda, then all the details are linked below. Ciao. Bye-bye.
This episode is brought to you by our gold partner, A-Star Financial Solutions UK, silver partners, TapTap Send and New Luxme Jewelers, bronze partners, Nepal Authentic Dining and Nepali Music Festival UK 2022. Thank you for listening to Ikchin With.